This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Here we go, and thanks for being with us this afternoon. A variety of programs coming up this week, so hope you'll be here every day. We begin with a conversation with a candidate for Congress, Monique Despain, running in the 4th Congressional District. Monique, thanks for being on today.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Well, I know it's a busy time already as people start to look towards the primary election and realize that indeed it is an election year, the midterms, et cetera. I know you put out a release recently regarding your fundraising efforts, and it sounded like you were fairly pleased with where you were in terms of fundraising. Talk about that.
Well, I am so honored by all of the support from Oregonians. We, in Q4, which of 2025, October 1st, which is when we launched, through the close of December 31st of the quarter, we raised almost $400,000 from about 1,100 individual donors. No special interests, no PACs, nobody from Washington, D.C. This is people in Oregon who are ready for change. So in contrast to our opponent, incumbent Democrat Val Hoyle, we raised nearly three times more than her. She raised only $134,000. It's a big deal. It's national news. Only five Republican challengers outraised a Democrat incumbent, three of whom self-funded. And of course, I'm not in that position. Oregonians are supporting this race, and I'm really proud to have their support.
And how does that really set you up to continue in this part of the election cycle?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate how important money is to a congressional campaign, but it's how we reach the 750,000 people who live in the 4th District. Our district is comprised of seven counties, and I've got to reach all those people to let them know they have a common sense choice who stands for public safety, getting back to an affordable economy, getting back to a prosperous economy, accessing our timber, holding our government accountable. It's expensive to reach everybody. So this sets us up to do that. All those dollars, getting as much of every dollar to reaching voters. The other good news I failed to mention is not only did we do well in Q4, we have our incumbent congresswoman only has $30,000 more cash on hand than we do. We've got about $355,000. She's got $385,000. You know, we came very close to taking out Val Hoyle in 2024. We quite frankly ran out of money in the final stretch when she was bombing away with lying TV ads. And I'm not going to let that happen again. And so that's what these numbers tell everybody.
Now, you ran before. Sometimes people stop after that. What made you take it a second go at this?
I asked myself that question. I was not thinking of taking a second go, but it takes a while for all the data to shake out. And we didn't win, and that's the goal. But I started pretty late. I told you the story. I told everyone on the show I have never aspired to politics. But it was at a time in 2023, we can all remember, we had an open border. We had fentanyl flooding into our country. I told you my inspiration is my two sons. They're young men that I want to deliver, you know, and be vigilant like so many before us have, and make sure they have a free nation, that they can aspire to the American dream. All those things motivated me to run the first time, and we came really close. If we had swung 19,000 votes, we would not be dealing with Socialist Democrat Val Hoyle right now. Wasn't really planning on running again because it really is quite taxing. You know, I quit my job. It's all-consuming. But nobody else stood up to run again this round. So, you know, we have a very vulnerable incumbent that isn't serving us. She really doesn't represent this 4th district. She's more aligned with the squad of Washington, D.C., or maybe the 1st district up in Portland. But that isn't who we are in the 4th district. And so we really haven't moved the needle in that regard. And when I saw that Nobody else was stepping up. I decided I'll give it one more go. And I'm just so heartened by all the support across the district. And I really feel confident we're gonna do the job this time and get some good common sense representation for Oregon.
What do you feel like the top issues are for you, the things you want to focus on and emphasize during the campaign?
Well, certainly public safety remains a challenge in Oregon. And I'm the only one in the congressional delegation and the candidates for Congress really sticking up for law and order and public safety. And so that remains a priority for Oregon. All across the district, people, individuals and business owners don't feel safe. And the crime, the property crime, is very expensive. And so I'm going to continue to stick up for public safety and fight for it and for the funding of it, too. And economic prosperity, getting us back to an affordable economy. I experience it right here in my family. My two boys have moved from Oregon. My son, Henry, just moved to Vancouver, Washington. He did the calculations that income tax is considerably that's him calling me right now, is considerably higher in Oregon than most places across the country. So my son works fully remote, and he can have the option to move. And like so many Oregonians, they're moving out of town. We are growing a dependent class in Oregon and driving out the hardworking tax contributors. We've talked about that before. Businesses are fleeing, and people like my son with a good job is leaving. So getting back to economic prosperity, and of course, one of the solutions for that in the 4th District is accessing our timber, which we're still not doing at the rates that we should. We're not doing it enough to keep our forests from burning down. That remains a major priority for me to support the management of our federal forests and access our timber. So that falls in the category of economic prosperity for the 4th District. And finally, my priority that I will deliver to Oregonians is transparency and accountability. And, you know, have you been seeing in the news the Somalians that are raiding Medicaid in Minnesota to the tune of billions?
Well, of course, that was big story.
It's big news, and it's happening in Oregon. Medicaid fraud is alive and real in this whole nonprofit industrial system that we have. And I intend to tackle that as a federal representative. And so those Medicaid dollars need to be going to the people who are entitled to them. So that's just an example of transparency and accountability. Also, I'll be a congresswoman who explains post the reason for my vote. For example, Val Hoyle voted against the Fix Our Forests Act in 2024. No explanation. It was just inexplicable. It was one of the most bipartisan bills. Even Nancy Pelosi voted for it. We didn't get any explanation. We just didn't get a vote from Oregon that said, yes, we would like to make some progress towards fixing our forest situation, which is season, you know, fire season, perfectly good timber burning, people losing their homes due to these mega fires. Anyway, transparency and accountability would include me explaining why I'm voting, because I will promise to vote on behalf of the people of the 4th District.
I want to come back to the whole area of economic growth. That's kind of a big one right now. Do you feel like, though, that some of that really goes to, in terms of the cost of living in the 4th District, economic growth in the 4th District, that a lot of that, though, goes to what happens in Salem and maybe not quite as much to what happens in Washington, D.C.?
There's a federal nexus to almost everything that's going on in Oregon. I would say Oregon is Oregon is the biggest addict in Oregon. Oregon government is very dependent on federal dollars. And right now we have a congressional delegation that thinks their job is just to deliver dollars regardless of how it's spent. And I think we need to eliminate the fraud and the hemorrhaging of the federal tax dollars. I think it's a representative job to be sure the money is going to purposeful programs that are successful, not just the continual funding of failure. So pick any topic. I mean, one is housing. We all know there's a crisis in this state, and it's government that's in the way. There's another bill that was recently passed because we have a conservative majority in the House of Representatives. Val Hoyle voted against this, but fortunately it passed with the Republicans, and many, many Democrats supported the SPEED Act. The title meaning SPEED is Standardizing, Permitting, and Expediting Economic Development. Now, we know these politicians play with the title, all right, so the title isn't necessarily everything, but I have taken a look at it. I would have voted for it. It delivers desperately needed NEPA reforms, National Environmental Policy Act, which is a major impediment to builders and developers. That's what I hear from them all across the state, particularly now I'm working in my district. But I did a lot of work with Kevin Mannix, who's on the Housing and Homelessness Committee in the state legislature right now. And on the year I took off to go back to work, I was doing a lot of research on this. And we just, everyone involved in building, developing, will talk about how the government impediments, the permits, the regulations, the wetlands mitigation requirements, all of this are in the way of building housing, adding, you know, $100,000 on a $400,000 house before you can even begin building the home. So there's a federal nexus there. I mean, there's many.
All right, we're going to take a break. Talk more with Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow on Inside Douglas County, Allie Rogers, Executive Director of the Umpqua Valley Wine Growers Association. We'll talk about the 55th annual Greatest of the Grape event coming up in just over a month. Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress, with us. We've been covering a lot of different issues. Let's talk about the housing shortage a little bit more. What would you do specifically to address getting more houses built?
Well, as we were just talking about, removing the impediments, the unnecessary impediments that government throws down across the path to success to building homes. I just mentioned a few. Wetlands mitigation, there's no overall strategy. Like, the Willamette Valley is out of wetlands mitigation credits. Developers are having to contemplate not only spending hundreds of thousand dollars to buy credits, but they're not available. So I'm really not sure that's an impediment right there. But then the process of getting through approval to build can be upwards to 3 years. Another thing that I am fighting against all the time, I fully supported that gas tax referendum to get that on the ballot. People are taxed to the max. It needs to stop. It seems like our government, Oregon's government, thinks the solution is always to just put the tax burden on the backs of individuals and businesses. And I hear every day I'm campaigning that the taxes are crushing them. Right now, the Oregon legislature wants to pass a sales tax, I'm told. I haven't been able to dig in on the bill number. And the first thought that comes to my mind is how much organized retail theft is costing businesses, and which, of course, they have to pass on to the consumer, to us. Why doesn't our government take care of that crime? You know, I'm all about the law and order, having good laws and enforcing them, which would include consequences for people who are robbing retailers blind and passing it on to forcing those businesses to either leave the state, which they are, or pass the expense onto the price tag that we pay for those goods. Instead, our Oregon legislature just lets that go. They're a very criminal-friendly legislature, and I would approach it completely differently. With instead of a sales tax, I would be addressing retail theft. Organized retail theft is one example.
Now, on the kind of the other end of the housing issue is the homeless issue. What do we do to address that?
Well, all progress begins with telling the truth. We have a problem, and we have elected people in positions of authority who don't even recognize it as a problem. They want to grow them. Those are voters to them. Those are, you know, important parts of the homeless industrial complex. So first of all, we get people like me elected into positions all across the state and federal government and put a stop to the abuses of, honestly, the abuse of the addicted, the mentally ill, who are just being really held in, it's almost like an outdoor prison, right? There's no hope of recovery. I would only support with federal dollars the programs that hold people accountable and support them in a path to a purposeful life. And we have too many nonprofits, just in Eugene, about 2,000 nonprofits that allegedly serve the homeless and the addicted. I just met with Clint Riley in Eugene this morning. He's part of he runs a program, it's not the Navigation Center, but the reforms of Measure 110, the deflection program. So when a police officer encounters a person committing a crime, a property crime or public use of drugs that we now finally have made illegal again, that there is a program, and I'm investigating that more, but it sounds like a very successful program where people are held accountable and they have an option that rather than burdening our criminal justice system, who's been undermined by Democrats for years, a system that cannot handle the revolving door of petty crimes and drug abuse and addiction. Anyway, I would support the programs that are effectively getting people out of their addicted condition and getting them into a productive life. That's one. But it has to begin with an assessment and audit of all of these nonprofits that are making quite a profit off of the misery and suffering of addicted and mentally ill people. And then we have a real true population of people that work full time and can't afford a house. And so we need to address that. And I mentioned a bit, I mean, there's so much, it's hard to get it all out right now, but reduce the regulations, make it more, inspire developers and builders, make more real estate available. I would consider all creative solutions. Like we have BLM lands right here in Eugene that are just right in the heart of the city that have done nothing but attract homeless camps and crime. Let's consider using those for developing homes. You know, we need to start thinking out of the box. We can't just continue to do what we're doing.
In the 4th District, a big percentage of folks are veterans. One of the questions I get asked very often when it comes to people running for office is what they will do to help veterans. And on the federal level, especially with your background in a military career, what would you do differently, maybe with Veterans Services or the VA?
I would listen and I would do. You know, we first of all, I'll be the only veteran in the congressional delegation. We have 6 congressional representatives. None of them have a shred of veteran or national security experience, and it shows. Our 2 senators have no national security experience, no veteran experience. So I have promised, it's on my website, I've checked it out, I'm authorized to do this. One of my congressional staff people here in the district, in my district offices, will be a veteran that is 100% devoted to working on veteran issues, that I will work with that veteran, I will speak up for veterans, and I will produce results. People know, as I run my campaign, my middle name is Persistence. And, you know, that's why a lot of stuff doesn't get done. You know, you don't just talk about it and then not do something about it. I have been getting results for my clients when I was a JAG, for my clients there in the private sector, getting things done. None of it really matters unless you produce results for veterans. So I'm very well aware of the Roseburg Clinic, the one here. I am a veteran and, I think we've talked about that. I did serve 30 years in the military. And I have served veterans as a lawyer, the veterans clinic. I really know what their issues are, and they need to be heard. I'm very disturbed we don't have a federal or state outreach to homeless veterans. I think it's absolutely unacceptable, and I will be very vigilant that as we address the homeless population problem that we just discussed, that veterans are identified and retrieved from that, you know, just given the help they need to get into the purposeful life that they once had when they served our country.
Real quick as we wrap up, do you have any appearances down here in Douglas County coming up soon?
I do. Thanks for bringing that up. I love coming down to Roseburg. I want to tell you, you know, the Roseburg people of Douglas County were there for us in this campaign. We got 68% of the vote. We sent a resounding message to Congresswoman Hoyle that she doesn't represent us in Douglas County. So I just always enjoy coming down. I was just there speaking to the Umpqua Valley Republican women. I think that was last week. And upcoming on February 27th, Friday the 27th, I plan to go to the Douglas County Home Show. That is my secret passion. I love homes and interior design and building and all that. So I'm going to be there for as long as I can that day. And then we'll have a meet and greet that day at Backside Brewing, I think around 5. But I hope everyone will come and say hello and talk to me about their concerns.
All right. Out of time for now. Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Kyle. Bye.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.